Good morning. It is good to be in church on Sunday, because I know that's the place where God wants me to be. I am happy to fill in. Pastor asked me, and I said I put it down on my schedule, but then he talked to me again. Last time I said, we were planning on going a weekend, and he said, I've asked you to preach for me. I said, no worries, I already made a commitment. I will be here. I'm glad you're here. And I'm happy to be a blessing this morning. And it's a great opportunity to stand here and share God's word. If I can help you, there is no doubt God can help you. And God's word can help us, strengthen us. Take your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. If you don't know where that is, it's right behind Proverbs. Psalms, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes. I want to talk to you about, it's a serious subject today. Deals with life, and it's very practical. And I believe I need this. And I believe we all need it too. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for you're a good God, you're gracious and full of mercy. We thank you for your many, many helps that you have helped us to come this far. We thank you that we worship and we love you and we live for you in every aspect of our life. We thank you for your kind love, that many times we failed you in many ways. But God, we thank you that you're God of forgiving. Father, we don't deserve you, your love and your kindness and your mercy. But we thank you because of Jesus Christ, what he did for us on the cross, that we have inherited a lot of good things, even a heaven awaiting us. Help us this morning as we open, look into your word. We depend and rely upon your word to help us, strengthen us, encourage us, as we ourselves know that life has a lot of struggles and difficulties. There's sometimes some things that we cannot find answers or solutions. But we are grateful that we know that we serve a great God who sees and knows and everything. And we can, with no doubt, turn to you in time of our need, and we find help and grace that we need. So we now pray and ask for your special blessing upon your word this morning. And also we pray at this time that God, you give special grace to Sister Jane's family during this time of sorrow. We're grateful that God, she's in a better place. And we thank you for all that blessing she has been to our church in these many years that she has come into Sugar Run. Be with our pastor. I pray that you watch over him and down to West Virginia and bring him back safely. God, thank you for all the church families who are here this morning. We pray for those who are not here. Pray that you give them grace and help watch over them, bring them back. Lord, help us this morning, we pray, and ask all these things in Jesus' name. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we're starting from verse number 1. The Bible says, to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to moan and a time to dinge, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Verse 6, a time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rent, a time to sue, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. And in verse 8, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. In this passage, I don't know what kind of Bible you have, but mine on the above, it says God's design for life, and he gives life's order of events. See, life has a lot of seasons that we go through, but as a Christian, it's different. Everything as we as a Christian go through, it's directed by God. Whether you like it or not, we have no choice. But we should not get disappointed in everything that we face in life. Because some things are to help us grow, but some things kind of remind us to know what God is doing. But the biggest thing that all of us has to need to understand is someone once said, only one life to soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. That's got a lot of meaning in that. Only one life soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last for eternity. And that applies to everybody. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, how rich you are, how poor you are. It all applies to us. It's reality about life. It's what you do for Jesus, what we do for Christ, what we do for God will last here and to eternity. Only one chance of life. Only one life. And soon it will be passed. Hey, you can count on taking vitamin and say, I've got a long way to go before I die. You can say, my doctor says my body's fine, I have a good health, I have a long way to go. But that doesn't count on that. You can brag about how good or how healthy you are, but not knowing tomorrow will be the last day, you will die. Lately, Sister Jane passed away. But I remember there are times, one time Sister Jane stood up here, she sang a song, what a day that would be. Oh, there is coming a day that I will see Jesus face to face. But last time I just had received a text, group text from pastor, and I was, saw the text, was Sister Jane passed away. I guess that was her time, her calling. But the point I want to bring is, it went back to my mind that she stood here and said, what a day that will be when I shall see. In we here we live by faith, but the moment when you die, you don't count on faith; it becomes sight. I can imagine when Sister Jane opened her eyes and she sees the Lord. What amazing! Yeah. What amazing! That's our excitement. That's supposed to be what empowers us to keep pressing on for the Lord. Ecclesiastes tells about events, lines of events that we all face in life. But good thing we know about is that it's about time. One thing about that God has given us is the time. Time cannot be redone or rewind. Right. Time cannot be redone. Sometimes young people say, I've got a long way to go. I'll just do whatever I want to do, and when I get old, I'll serve God. But when they get old and they realize that, oh, it's time to serve God, but realize that there's not much you can do. Your health will slow you down. But time is it's a resource that God has given us. To know the time is short, we got to make use of the time we have right now. Reality in Christian life is what we do. Those are the things that will be counted. Those are the things that will be rewarded. Those are the only things that will be counted when we stand before God. Any other things that we do apart from God, it will be a waste. Yeah. Only one life. We have only one life. And it should be a life that is surrendered to Christ. We have only one life that God has given us, And that is a life is that has to be surrendered to Christ. Completely and fully. Not half. We are blessed. I can say. We are blessed. Being a Christian, being a child of God, is you are living a life full of blessings. What more can you say? Hey, we have a lot of things to be thankful for. Look at unsaved people. They are unhappy. They are unsatisfied. Every day they're trying to find hope, find satisfaction, but they can't find. I'm working at a third job on Kraft Heinz. Every time I walk in, I'm surrounded by unhappy people. And I look at them, I feel sad. But they tell me that I'm different. The way I act, the way I do my job, the way I speak. But I'm surrounded by people, some of their languages, and I wish I'm deaf. Yeah. Complaining, yelling, and screaming. Oh, that's a life. That's a life that is missing. That's a life is that life without Christ. But we are, what a privilege. When Paul got saved, he realized something about life. That's why he said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the message of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's supposed to be us. That is all of us. That's supposed to be where our life is placed, anchored, and that should reflect our life. Knowing that God has given only one life to live on this earth. Everything you and I do is counted for the glory of God. God wants our life that is in Christ to be fully surrendered to Christ. Ask yourself, is my life fully surrendered to Christ? Or is my life halfly surrendered to Christ? If we really mean business with God, if our life is really fully surrendered to Christ, we are different people. If our life is not fully surrendered to Christ, there is something wrong. There is something wrong in our spiritual life. Second thing is, knowing that one life, our life, should be fully surrendered to the service of Christ. Our life should be fully surrendered to the service of God. God's work is our first priority on our list. Doing what God wants us to do. You say, well, I don't really understand I don't really know God's work for me. Well, you have a church. Church have a ministries. Church have a fellowship. Church have church services. It's God's work. It's God's service. Looking back, seeing Jean, she sends specials every Sunday. Not every Sunday, but some Sundays. That's a service. She stood here and she sent specials. And I enjoyed listening to her speak. Didn't have a music background, but it was just plain words. Those words were so meaningful. And she would stand here and use her voice and sing. I can still hear her sing in my head. I can still hear memories of her singing a special. Yes, she's gone and with the Lord. The service, knowing that God has given only one life, that life must be fully surrendered to God's service. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that it may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Next thing, to knowing that God has given us only one life to live, that life has to be saturated with Christ. Is our life saturated with Christ? Acts chapter 4, 13, the Bible says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled that they took knowledge of them and they had been with Jesus. See, Acts chapter 4, 13 speaks of Peter and John. Peter and John didn't have some kind of a Bible college or theological degrees in their background, but they spoke with boldness. They knew the scriptures, and they stood with the power of the Holy Spirit, and men marveled. I said, wow, look at this man, uneducated man. But what was behind them? It was the hand of God. See, hand of God is mighty. Hand of God can use us, do something incredible that people can marvel. God's hand might be on your life about witnessing. And you can witness. If God has gifted you in witnessing, you can witness, and somebody will, at that moment, will realize and humble their pride and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But there are other times you can witness and people just shut you off and they don't want to listen. But we should never disappoint it, because our goal, our purpose is still deliver the gospel. But God has gifted many of us with special areas to minister to others, minister to the church. Your gift might be providing a meal or cleaning, and God gives you grace and joy. You enjoy in doing that. That is where God, that's a gift God has given you. But Peter and John, God gave them the wisdom, and they preached and they ministered, and the people marveled the way that God used them. Hey, in our life, where we live, where we work, where we go, we are surrounded by people. And if we are fully surrendered and saturated in Christ, people can see the difference in us. People are watching. Unsaved people are watching. They don't know God. They can't see God, but they can see Christ through us. And through us, it will move them to realize what's special about these people. What's special about you? And you tell them, nothing is special about me, but there is one thing special that is in my life, that is Jesus Christ, which gives you the opportunity to point them to Christ. Knowing that one purpose, one life to live, we need our life to be saturated in Christ. A full of Christ, all about Christ. You have room for no other filthy thing in this world. All your life is just given about Christ. Christ in you, Christ overflowing, Christ walking with you, where you go. You are just all given to Christ. That's made of a situation about Christ. But it is so sad today, like many of us, some of our lives, we're not saturated with Christ. We are saturated with other things of this world. Sometimes I meet Christians and they talk about stuff and this and that. I say, those things not going to encourage me in my faith, in my walk with Christ. Those things won't help me, and I will never get reward for those things. Our life, such a life of a Christian person, man or woman whose life is about Christ, saturated in Christ, you can tell what comes out of their mouth. You could go see them where they're going, what they're doing, and you could tell them. If somebody is coming and gossiping about other Christian, you can clear that person's life is not saturated in Christ. But I want our life to be saturated in Christ, because knowing that one life to live soon be over. You might think I have goals and plans for tomorrow. But tonight you sleep, you might never get up tomorrow. Only those things you have done come through today. If you're done with the right heart, right attitude for the Lord, it will be counted for the glory of God. But if not, what a waste. What a waste. Knowing that one life to live, our life should be a sweet smell of Savior unto Christ. Philippians 4:18, the Bible says, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." This was the gift sent for Paul as encouragement. In whatever part of ministry, whatever part of your Christian life, when you, whatever you do, it is a sweet smell. It brings glory and honor in a way to God. Regarding to your service, your sacrifice, what do you do for the church, what do you do for others, what do you invest in the work of God, it brings glory to God. Next thing I want to say is knowing that we have one life to live is a satisfaction voice from Christ. Matthew 25:21, the Bible says, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Thou good and faithful servant. Imagine Sister Jane entered the presence of the Lord, and through all her life, what she did for the Lord, many other things, the Lord was well pleased to welcome her home. What about us? What about us? When God takes us home, will we be hearing, "Thou good and faithful servant"? It's based upon how much, how, what we do for the Lord today. Here, right here, in this work that God has given us. Pastor doesn't own this ministry. Assistant pastor doesn't own this ministry. The deacons, trustees, doesn't own this ministry. This is God's work. You cannot classify this church by the size, by the number of the people, by the size of the pews, by the color of the building. You cannot measure God's work by number or size. Whether it's a small church, it's God's church. Whether a small group of people, it's God's group of people. And it's for the main purpose, it's for the same purpose, to share the gospel, is to tell people or help people to come to know the Lord. You might say, it's not a mega church. You might say, I know all the people. Yeah, but it's God's people. You might say, I get tired of seeing the same faces. Well, if you get tired of seeing the same faces, you got a real problem there. You say, I don't like the pews. Bring yourself a recliner. We'll make a room. Or you say, it's too hot. Bring you a fan. But this is God's place. This is God's work. God knows what you do for his work. You might be somebody who walks when the church is closed, nobody's around. You might be somebody who comes in here and changes the trash can. God sees that. You might be somebody who stops by and trim the hedges around the yard. God sees that. Pastor Nelson knows it because God owned this place. God owned this ministry. Think about all the people that has come forward, got saved. It falls all into our account. You play part. We all play part in God's work. You might think this is not a mega church. I'm very uncomfortable. There's something wrong with there. Knowing that one life to live soon be past. Psalms chapter 90, verse 10, the Bible says, the days of our years are the 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. We fly away. Nobody, you can't find a better definition about life than you can find it in here. God is the only one that gave us this life. And he's the only one that takes this life away from us. But for a Christian, it's more of joy and happiness. But for unsaved, it's sad. It's sad. But only way that unsaved person come to find hope and happiness in life is if they find Christ. If they come to Christ for salvation. You can't find any better definitions about life, meaning about life, than what God says in the Bible. In James chapter 14, verse 4, verse 14, the Bible says, life is a vapor. Vapor doesn't last long. Vapor goes up and disappears. And you don't see it again. Seeing all the brothers and sisters who have sat in this pew, and they have gone like a vapor. But to be a Christian and die and be gone, it's a joy because we see them again. If a loved one could some way speak to those that they left behind, what would one thing they would say? Don't cry, mourn over me. You will see me again in heaven. For a death, for a Christian, it's not a death. It's going home. It's going home. James chapter 4, verse 14, the Bible says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanished away. Job chapter 7, verse 7, the life is like a wind. Oh, remember that my life is a wind. Mine eyes shall no more see good. Psalms chapter 100, Psalm 102, verse 3, the Bible says, life is like smoke, for my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as a heat. And then 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24, says about life, that life is like a grass. It is true. You see the grass blooming, green, but the next time you see it, it's all turned dead. The Bible says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man has the flower of grass. The grass withered, and the flower thereof falleth away. That is our life. That's how the Bible describes it. But the most important thing that you and I need to encourage and focus upon is only what's done for Christ will last. Let me challenge you here. What are you doing for Christ? What am I doing for Christ? Is that thing you're doing for Christ, are you wholeheartedly doing? Or are you half-hearted doing? Last Sunday, I went across the river, Pleasant View Baptist Church. I was sitting in the parking lot ready for the church time to start going. And then the pastor walked out and I said, I'm missionary just visiting. And he said, oh, I'm glad you're here. Come on in. I said, what time your church starts? He said, Prayer meeting starts at 9, and 9:30, Sunday school starts. I was like, okay, I'll be there. I walked in, there were a couple of elderly men and about have a prayer meeting. And they said, we are so excited that you are here, join us in the prayer meeting. I said, I am delighted to pray. So we had a prayer meeting, and I just stopped to visit, that way I can know the pastor and kind of introduce what I'm doing for missions. And he said, my Sunday school teacher is not here. He's sick. I did have a message prepared to teach, but can you step in and teach for me? I said, I'd be more happy. I'd be more honored to stand and teach. And Sunday school started, and he called me up front, and I taught in the Sunday school class. And he preached in the main service. He said, after church service was over, he said, can you stay for dinner or stay for lunch? I said, I'll be more happy. And I stayed, and I said, I can't turn food down. Don't laugh at me. But the saddest thing was when I left the church place across the river. I was driving across the river, the bridge. I could look over the stadium. The stadium was filled with a lot of people. Unbelievable. I mean, on Sunday, sad. Was God honored? I mean, I know there were Christians. Some Christians were in there in the ball game. I've been a Christian and been in the stadium on Sunday instead of being in church. It grieves God. It grieves God. That is the picture of a typical Christian today. Sunday is not God-fearing day. I can go wherever I want to go. I can be where I want to be. I can go watch game on Sunday. But if you really believe, if you know you're a child of God and you have fear of God, you really know God, where God wants you to be on Sunday, you wouldn't be on a football game on Sunday. In the stadium, you'll be in the house of God. It's very sad. I was over there and there were not too many people in church on Sundays. In our eyes, in the typical Christians today, it says, it's not a big deal. But in God's eyes, oh, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. We're glad that we're not living in the Old Testament days. I'm glad we live in a grace period. It's because of what Christ did for us. In the Old Testament days, you can walk out on worship on Sunday, you'll be dead. You say God was fair. No, God did mean business. But we are glad we live in a grace period. But the grace period will soon be over. The Bible says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, after this, the judgment. Only one life to live. Only what's done for Christ will last. Are you doing something for the Lord? Are you doing something for Christ? And how are we doing what God has called? Putting our hearts to do something for the Lord. And if we are doing half-heartedly, it doesn't bring honor to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, the Bible says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. Whew. There will be no excuse. There will be no like, oh, I'm going to read the good parts and just avoid the bad parts. No. Everything. But some of the things that we will be accountable, that the ways that we have ministered, the ways that we have used, or the ways that we have dealt with. The first thing I want to say, our words, we will judge for the words. As a believer, our mouths, our words should be used to uplift one another, not to destroy, not to cut people. Our mouth, our lips should praise and worship God. Our mouths, our words should be used to share the gospel, or uplift, or honor God in many aspects of the, our life, in whatever ways that we use. If we use our words to curse or downgrade or talk against, we're going to be accountable for that. Our words should be a sweet savor, should be pleasing, should be edifying, should be uplifting somebody else. It's like, hey, I'm praying for you. Hey, I missed you at church. I know you have things going, but I'm praying for you. I hope to see you next Sunday. Hey, I know you're going through this very hard time, but can I pray with you? Hey, I know you're dealing with this. I want to share a scripture with you. Our words should be saturated in Christ honoring, uplifting, edifying to another. But we will be given account for the words we use. Bible says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Next thing is our works. Our works will be judged accordingly. Our works. Every work that you involve, every work you've done for the church, or every aspect of your life, will be judged too. Whether you did it willingly, wholeheartedly, or whether you did it with complaints, you didn't feel like doing it, you just did it so you can please somebody, God sees that and you'll be accountable for that. So we must be very careful. Every ministry or every aspect, every work you do for the church, we must be honest. And if we have ill feelings doing it, be careful, God sees it. But it all comes from the heart. We will be accountable for every work we've done. Last thing is I want to say is, our walk with the Lord will be judged. How are we walking? Are we walking with the Lord, or are we walking out of the Lord? Or we are not walking with the Lord? It is a good thing to walk with the Lord, because it's safe, comforting. You find strength. You find peace. You find grace. But if you walk, it is a dangerous thing to walk without the Lord in the Christian life. So how can I walk with the Lord in the Christian life? Meditate. Pray. Use the scriptures to help you. Or sharing Christ with others. So Bible encourages us to walk wisely. Ephesians 5:15 and 16. The Bible says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We need to walk wisely. The whole subject of this message is that only one life to live. Whether you live for Christ, or whether you live fully surrendered to Christ, to live for all his glory, or you don't surrender, you just say, it's not a big deal. Three things that I want to remind us is, knowing that one life to live soon be over, our life should be surrendered to Christ. Our life should be in the service of God. Our life should be saturated with Christ. I believe God can make a difference in our life. for the sake of others. Let me conclude with this. Knowing that God has given only one life to live, how are we living that life? Are we living it with a completely surrender to Christ? I mean, we really mean business in the work of God in many ways that we can glorify or help in God's work. If we do that, I'm pretty sure God will accomplish a lot in our life and God will be glorified. But remember, I can only answer God for what I've done for God. You can only answer God what you did, the life that God has given you. It's not too late. Maybe you are not, you know you're a Christian, but you are not fully surrendered. Fully surrendered means, God, from now on, it's not about what I wish, what I want, but God, it's all about you and what do you want to do in my life? Here's my life. Take it and use it so you can accomplish a lot through my life. That's fully surrendered. Maybe you're not fully surrendered. You just feel like when you want to do it, you show up and you'll be at church. You feel like you want to do this for a church, you'll be there to do it. But sometimes if you don't feel like, you don't want to, that's not fully surrendered. Fully surrendered is all completely given. God control of our life. May God help us. Whatever need, whatever areas in our Christian life that you realize yourself, you can ask God yourself to God to help you. And God can do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the life you've given us. We know that it's not too long. We know it's only one life that we live. Only those things that we do for you and for your work and for your glory will be counted. Help us in many areas of life that we things that we do for you, God, to be fully surrendered with all our heart to do it for your glory. Father, I pray that you help take this message and work in our heart and our lives to help understand what we need to do from now until. We thank you for giving us another day to see this day today. Thank you for the privilege of being in your house today, Lord. I pray somebody here who is not saved or somebody that has a doubt in their salvation, pray that you help them settle that, Lord. And I pray for somebody that is struggling in many ways. I pray that you will give grace to find strength and help in you, Lord. Bless this invitation as the song leader comes and sends. Thank you for allowing me to share this torch. Lord, I pray and rely on you that you can make difference in the scriptures and this subject and topics that have been mentioned. We thank you for your goodness. All these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.